Coming up, everyone, we're talking about traveling solo to Universal Orlando, live from the Bob Varley studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Universal edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 70 of the Diz Unplugged Universal edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. The experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan your perfect vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams. Today I am joined with Jenny Lynn Knopp.
Hey, everybody. Like and our new percussion section.
Exactly. And then back on the controls, our very own associate producer, Rhino Calvin.
I do actually own a shirt that says Calvin. Calvin, why do you keep calling me Calvin? That's all right. You're one of many in my life. I'd like to apologize for what happened during the opening credits. My computer has like a bug or a virus or something, and I was like, man, I really hope that doesn't happen during the opening. And then it just did. So
if you're listening, that sucks.
You're listening, you didn't hear it. But if you're watching, man, I'm real sad right now that I'm going to have to go throw this piece of garbage away.
Yeah, we'll just throw it away as soon as it's over. So first off, everyone, thank you for joining us today. We're going to have, a very exciting episode. As I said, we're talking about traveling solo to Universal Orlando. So for those of you out there who want to find... they want to take a trip by themselves, but they're maybe a bit hesitant to do it at Universal. Hopefully, we'll be able to give you some of the benefits that we think are good about traveling to Universal alone. But at the same time, too, we'll talk about at least one negative, I think, out there that exists. But we'll see all that coming up. But before we get there, we have a couple things to just go over. First off, I want to apologize. To anyone who's listening, this might sound a bit crazy in the background, but the room right next to our studio is undergoing construction right now, so you're going to hear a lot of fun noises in the background, a lot of maybe hammering, a lot of grunts. Drilling, maybe some grunts. You never quite know what you're going to get here. And then I apologize because sometimes all those noises trigger off the dog that's next door that you hear on some of the other shows. So just get lost in these sounds.
You know what it feels like we're doing? We're bringing back the Drew Carey Sounds Dangerous. Yeah, this is our Universal Edition ode to the Hollywood studio.
Ode to Drew Carey. Yeah.
Yes, and anytime you hear a sound, raise your right hand up in the air, so that way everyone thinks you're crazy.
Healthy drinking game.
Yeah, I apologize. There's sometimes you just have to make do with what's happening, and today we're going to have to do that.
We're going to squeeze those lemons right on into some lemonade.
Yes, like we always try to do with everything, including I think we should bring it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bring this up first. I don't think we're all talking about the same thing, but
probably
I want to talk about the elephant in the room, the tension that's between all of us.
Oh, I thought we were talking about that other guy.
No, we'll get there next.
Okay, all right.
Let's talk about the tension between us. So, for everyone out there who doesn't know...
I was hoping everyone would be quiet long enough so I could just do one of these.
Yeah,
You spoke.
Okay, one more time.
All right, so let's talk about that tension between us.
Yeah, there's some massive tension between us.
I'm wondering which tension you're going to address, whether it's the sexual tension between you and I that is apparent to people on the Disboards.
Or the sexual
tension between you and Rhino.
Yeah.
Well, for everyone out there, I my marriage is a complete sham.
It's been 2 months of misery. Yeah,
it's been, Kylie's been good about playing along with it, but really, JL and I...
it's on.
JL and I are a couple, whereas I've got Rhino in the back who... I mean, we've also had something on the side too. It's a really messy love triangle.
You're just a hot ticket item in general, Craig.
And so, you know, I
side lady dog.
I treat Rhino like crap because I want to make sure that no one can find out about our relationship.
And it's all a big cover up.
You know what started playing in my head? My Heart Will Go On. Yeah. Our song.
It's beautiful. That is our song.
Hold me, but, like you did in the lakes of Naboo, where there was nothing but our love.
Right, exactly. Okay. So, all joking aside, we have received quite a bit of comments and messages on last week's show in particular about there was something off with our group, and you know, that's a lot of times I get ones that, you know, I hate Rhino and stuff like that. I think I've addressed it before. I'll address it one more time. Rhino is one of my greatest friends that I have right now. I work with him at least once a week outside of doing this and talk to him quite a bit. There's rarely a day that goes by that we're not texting about something just as friends, not even having to do with work.
Mm-hmm.
I am a sarcastic a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
That is me. I understand that it rubs some people the wrong way. But I am not saying anything on purpose to hurt Rhino's feelings, and I don't think his feelings have ever been hurt by anything I said, except when I said I don't love you anymore.
Well, when you that day you stopped letting me, you said, "That's enough. I don't want to hear Celine Dion no more."
last week, I will say, in the room, I don't think any of us felt off, but at the same time, too, we had just all come off of doing multiple days of the Daily Fix in a row.
Woo, our first week.
For me, it started on Sunday with a Sunday test, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then also being the third show we had to record after two shows on Wednesday, or Tuesday and Wednesday, plus all the Daily Fixes. Yep. We are being really run down right now. Not in a bad way. We're all enjoying what we are doing. And you haven't checked out the Daily Fix yet, go to wdwinfo.com/dailyfix to catch up on the news every day, Monday through Friday at noon. They'll be released.
I do actually have a question about that I wanted to ask before the show. Will it be up on Monday? Because Monday's a holiday.
Yeah.
Okay. I assumed so.
The Diz does not follow.
We don't get days off for Martin Luther King's birthday.
We get the big days off at the Diz. So we have Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's, all that, etc. But you know, in terms of typical bank holidays, we will sacrifice ourselves on Martin Luther King Day.
Throw ourselves on the altar of theme park entertainment.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, we will be here for you. So I think, did anyone else want to say anything about that, or did I make the point clear enough that we all really enjoy each other?
Yeah.
What was that? Sexually.
I'm sorry. I was debating about whether to say it, but then it just started coming out, and I couldn't stop myself.
Fantastic.
He abandoned that mid-word.
Well, I try to always... This is a segue into the next thing we're going to talk about. I always try to say that like Snape says, you know, so I always try to go, sexually. That's a little more Frankenfurter. I'm sorry for everybody that's listening.
Speaking of Snape.
Yeah. I'm sure pretty much everyone out there has seen it at this point, but we all woke up... Well, the people who wake up late in the day woke up to some unfortunate news that Alan Rickman has passed away from cancer at the age of 69.
Same as Bowie.
Same as David Bowie this week. And it's been a really, really terrible week for everyone out there who's a fan of both of them. For the Universal Edition, at least, I want to say it really has an impact on us because, well, you've heard how much we talk about Harry Potter itself beyond just the wizarding world of Harry Potter. So this is a big loss. It sucks that at Universal, the only real reference to Snape and Alan Rickman would be inside the Forbidden Journey queue. The regular queue, as you pass through the first corridor there, you pass Snape's office hidden kind of back in the corner. And that's really all the love that he truly got out of it.
Maybe they'll do something nice, you know.
That's what I was wondering. Maybe now they'll put some kind of memorial type.
Well, that thing I sent a tweet out today to let people know if anyone goes there and sees that someone
like flowers
tried to throw flowers or a tribute or something to it, to tweet a picture at us so we could get it out there. But it's, you know, that it sucked.
Well, it's hard because think about, I was thinking about it in our lives and our history. You know, obviously Die Hard was his big break in film, and you know, and who wasn't introduced to that? Like, you know, we're the same age, so our parents showed it to us, I'm sure, at the same time, or a friend or something. And then my mom loved the Robin Hood movie, which was his like next real big role. And it's hard because and then when I was like 15, 14 or 15, like Galaxy Quest came out, and who doesn't love that movie? Well, it's amazing.
I want to say I must have been in seventh grade whenever that came out.
Yeah, I think it was in eighth or ninth grade.
Because I remember it was, my mom used to go out and rent movies for me. Like if I said I didn't know what I wanted, but she knew I still needed to pass the time, she would rent movies. And I remember her picking up Galaxy Quest for me. And it was like the day that my junior high class was all going to a local amusement park, Kennywood, for a field trip. But I wasn't going to it. I stayed at home because it was like an extra one on a Saturday. And I watched it, not knowing anything about it, just that it was a Tim Allen movie. And it is like literally one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. I remember seeing it in the movie theater, kind of also in that same where I was like, oh, Tim Allen movie. And seeing it and just being like blown away by that, by how funny it is, but how great of an actual film all by itself it is too. Like it's just a wonderful, and you know, and he really makes it in that. And then obviously, like you said, we've talked about Harry Potter, so it's just kind of like he's had these massive moments for us. And who doesn't love actually too? Every time I eat yogurt, I'm thinking, are you gonna cover it in yogurt?
Actually tonight Kylie and I said we'd be watching that.
I'm doing Galaxy Quest. I got it off the shelf this morning.
Are you done in the fleshiest of fleshes?
And he scoops the flowers. Yeah, that's a good, it's he's been around for so many of our like formative years. That's what I was thinking. So it really feels like the law, like I don't know why, it just feels deep inside. I don't know, it hurts.
It hurts. And moving back to a Harry Potter standpoint on it, if you haven't been paying attention out there, I think Rhino already mentioned it once, but a lot of the people around the Harry Potter universe have been making their voices heard on Alan Rickman, including J.K. Rowling, Daniel Radcliffe, James and Oliver Phelps both tweeted out a message this morning. So
yeah.
I'll try to compile them to put it together.
Make sure you throw in, because my favorite thing that I put on Facebook too is the quote that he has about when he's 80, he'll hope to be sitting in a rocking chair and he'll be reading Harry Potter, and his family will come up to him and say, after all this time, and he'll say, always. And I'm just like, oh, God, I'm going to start making myself sad again. Okay. Yeah.
It's very sad.
It's a good, you know. Anyway, so just, you know, reflect on that, everybody. We never know when the people in our lives are going to come and go. So just
rest take in a peace, moment. Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Gosh. Got me real sad.
Yeah, no, that
there's no good segue at this point, so you just have to move. So
speaking of sad, traveling alone.
Well, no, before we get there, we have a couple other things. Let's talk about sad.
Sad news.
So this is beyond us. This is actually going over and pulling from Disney World. I'm sorry, a lot of this stuff I just found today, so this isn't like a formal buzz. It's a very informal buzz.
On the fly.
On the fly news. Yeah, apparently... posters on WDW Magic, as well as Jim Hill, have both confirmed, or not officially confirmed, but heard from their sources, that the NBA experience at Disney Springs is no longer going to happen.
Oh, thank God. My.
Meaning that granted, we all knew that it was going to be different from the atrocity, besides the towering cheesecake, that we had at Universal City Walk. We all knew that wouldn't, it would be different, but wouldn't play well. But apparently, somewhere along the line, someone else figured it out too, and that project is supposedly not happening anymore, which I think is absolutely wonderful.
So, other than our assumption that they decided it was a bad idea, we don't actually have any more concrete reasoning for this being pushed to the wayside.
I haven't seen anything else about it. I just caught that blip And okay. I think it's
I wonder if great. They'll
hopefully
keep,
we can follow up on it.
Keep the whatever it is, Disney Quest open a little longer for that.
I have no idea. I think it's still closing. However, leading back into it, along with that, one of the big rumors about what would happen to NBA City, we've talked about a multitude from it, from Cheesecake Factory to a potential chocolate kind of restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm officially being told that it potentially will be the chocolate restaurant is the official thing going in. I know that's right now is in the number one spot, but I have heard from someone who is slightly in the know has been confirmed. So
I'm glad it's something cool.
That has got to be the most the statement.
I know it
that
makes
I've heard
no sense.
With the most loopholes in it. With I've officially been told that maybe there might be possibly this slight chance of probability that.
Okay, well, A, I want to protect my source.
Don't quote me on it, but quote me.
I want to protect my source. B, at the same time, I know he watches the show, so I don't, not all of them, sometimes.
Now I know.
So I don't want him to get mad at me or her.
Now I know.
I don't want him or her to get mad at me. For saying something
that they may or may not
have
said.
That they may or may not have said. So
about
all
the possibility
saying,
of the slight chance that but we're as, not certain, but
as we've learned from your what you just said about Disney Springs, anything can change still. So it might not even happen. So
yeah. Oh, anything could still happen.
But if it does happen, you heard it here first.
I think we are to expect a chocolate style restaurant. Which I guess those are getting very popular, sweet shop restaurants and chocolate restaurants where they...
Didn't they put something at...
iDrive 360 has one now.
Yeah, the one from Vegas.
The Sugar Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm hit or miss on chocolate. There's some days where I can be a chocolate monster and other days where I just don't want any at all and I don't even want to look at it, so...
I don't really like chocolate, but, I like white chocolate... but I'm just, it's not something I crave, but I think I like the idea that it's something, another cool dining experience.
I look forward to part of it. Maybe there's something with Aztec chocolate where it has that bit of spice and.
So you guys are looking for a unique experience is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But this again is going into, would be something going into Disney Springs and has nothing to do with Universal.
No, this is going into NBA City.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the segue going from NBA Experience got shut down, is now not going to happen at Disney Quest. Boo-hoo to them. We got rid of it, and we're getting a chocolate restaurant instead.
I am glad that we clarified, because I was lost.
Yeah, otherwise, that's just a whole Disney World.
Well, I was kind of wondering why we were going down that track. Well, I was just on the wrong train.
Maybe I didn't connect the bridge.
As opposed to burning it? Just
gotta write those lyrics a little better.
Maybe I didn't connect four.
There you go.
All right.
Well, you're on the City Walk food area. Just real quick, I went to do a... celebrate with some Florida friends who did not get to celebrate with me with my birthday. This was within the 4 days. I went back to sports bar and
NBC.
Whatever. I'm sorry. I always, and even the guy NBC was like, sports. Why are you calling it that?
Grill and brew.
And
sorry.
I have to say, excellent again. Everything was excellent. And there was a Cuban meatloaf sandwich. Mm. If you have not had this, it's the thing you must do next. So
it's real good. And I got that cake. List.
Fed me for 3 days.
I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry.
Nothing can crave my hunger. Cure my hunger.
Sometimes I don't know what to do with the two of you.
This is called stalling for time.
You
remember
something?
We talked about that yesterday.
Oh, stalling
for time.
I haven't gotten that yet.
I can keep talking about it.
No. We're good on that. So my time stalling has been complete. So. Let's actually start talking about some Universal stuff. Still not traveling solo
Imagine
yet.
Imagine that.
These ones will be quick. Just a little blip for anyone in the parks today, yesterday, potentially tomorrow still. I don't know how long it's happening, but the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt has been filming at Universal.
Oh, my God.
Ellie Kemper has been spotted there, who plays the character role. of Kimmy Schmidt. She was in the ball pit at Kid Zone. Lisa Kudrow is there too.
What?
As part of it. She was seen riding Rip Ride Rocket. And then Tina Fey, who writes the show, is also on, is at property. I know they were also, Tina and Lisa were seen at the Tequila Cave at Epcot yesterday. Yeah, so they're all around right now. I don't know how much of the cast is actually there, but at least those three are there. And
no new
I mean, if I could put on my stocking glasses tonight, I would definitely go over there for a chance to see Ellie Kemper.
Yeah,
I know it's kind of bizarre to say, like, oh, Tina Fey's there. I'm not a huge fan of her.
What about Lisa Kudrow?
But Lisa Kudrow, yeah, still not, like, I love Friends, but she's not my favorite friend at all. But Ellie Kemper's...
She's no Chandler.
Ellie Kemper. It's Aaron in The Office. It's just pure comedic brilliance. Okay,
what'd you say to her?
What would I say to her?
Give me a good one line that you'd say to her. Would it be a quote from The Office?
She would be one of the ones that I wouldn't know. I couldn't say anything to her.
Yeah.
It would just be that, you like, you look and like smile.
This. Sorry about those partridges in your car. No, not those. What does he put in her car? Goose.
Geese. Oh. I wouldn't be able to speak. It would just be like,
she's like the same age as us,
I would
too.
Get that
she's
way with a little older. Kudrow.
A little older. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do.
But she looks younger.
Okay. That was the
end. That's sorry. The cue to move along. Again.
Everything is like still weird around me because it's like as soon as I stop for a second, then I hear a hammer and you're talking. And not that I'm comparing you to a hammer, but
if I had a hammer.
But we
stop while we're ahead.
We've said it before, we'll say it again. It's great that they're still doing actual filming and production at Universal Orlando, and it seems like they're getting better and better with each,
you know, what's really
thing being filmed there.
Interesting about that too is that I didn't think this show had anything to do with Universal because I thought that NBC had passed on this show and that's how Netflix got it because they originally had been the ones who were developing it and Netflix said we'll take it if
but
you
isn't
want
it still being produced by Lorne Michaels?
Oh yeah, maybe. So, maybe right. So it must still fall into like it's a Universal show that's a Netflix show.
Yeah. I think I'm not positive.
It's still cool.
You never know with the ties really cool. of Hollywood because yeah. like Mindy Project is filmed on the sound stages of Universal, yet it was shown on Fox and now is shown on Netflix. So
yeah.
It's all crazy. Or not Netflix, Hulu. Sorry.
Well, I know it's the whole, it's not the, it's who it's, where it's shooting is not who owns it, who's not who owns yeah. the studio that plays it, blah, blah, blah. I don't want anyone to write us an email and tell me about it again.
Okay. Last thing, I promise. Yeah. This was literally breaking news before we went on there. It's not huge in order to plan your trip, but it was still interesting. Sandra Petticini.
It's like a nice Brain Italian farts. Dinner.
She posted an article on Orlando Sentinel. Now we have one on our site. Plans surfaced through the South Florida Water Management District that shows that Universal is planning on building a separate tram/bus road that's dedicated just to getting people from the south parking structure to a site south of Sapphire Falls. That will be the dedicated way to get to Volcano Bay, the water theme park that's opening up in 2017.
The new parking structure that's being built, is that the one you're referring to, or the current one?
They're building a road from the south parking structure. So,
because there's two right now.
There's two right there. There's the north parking structure, and then there's the south parking structure. So there will be a loop around the south parking structure where people will be able to park there to go to Volcano Bay, and then they'll board a bus or a tram, and that will take them to right below Sapphire Falls, where then they'll go under a pedestrian tunnel, and then they'll be at Sapphire Falls, or at Volcano Bay, which is right below to the south of Cabana Bay.
Interesting.
So I think
that is interesting, and I wonder if they will use that in some way to play into the theming of, you know, transporting you to their new little water park land.
It's very interesting. The first thing I kind of thought about it is, God, that seems like kind of a hassle to get
that too.
There, but at the same time too, because, you know, a lot of people go to water parks. I've seen it like Disney ones where they're basically ready to go, all dressed up in their stuff, and yeah. then they just walk right in. Whereas right. this isn't this isn't that far off from like Disneyland, where their parking lots aren't very close at all to any of the parks. You basically have to take a shuttle to get there if you don't want to walk. So it's not like unheard of that people have to take shuttles. Heck, look at the Magic Kingdom. It's out there. But for a water park, you know, that's just kind of, it's something about it seems a little off-putting to me. Maybe not to everyone else out there. Maybe I'm in the minority.
I think I'm going to reserve my judgment, just kind of wait and see how they pull it off. Because like I said, if they can somehow pull it into the anticipation of the arrival at the park, the way that Magic Kingdom's original intention was, you know, you go to the trams, but then you have to take the monorail or the ferry boat to cross over this big thing to arrive at the magical place. And then you do feel like you are somewhere totally other than where you were when you were in the parking lot. If they're able to do something like that, then maybe it's not such a bad thing, except for it is inconvenient because it takes a while to get to your car.
My thing is they announced this as being like something that's not, what was the wording they used? It's not a water park.
It's a water theme park.
Yes, so that's,
and they said it was a new type of experience that had never been done before for water parks.
But it's still going to have water park elements to it.
Well, that's what I was trying to say is that it's just, we don't know yet because we don't know what that means and necessarily. So you could, I'm not saying like, it's like, well, you can go in your regular clothes, but there, it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, we don't know what the experience is encompassed.
Yeah, because let's say people get soaked and then they're riding back on the tram to go back to their car in soaking wet clothes. And then, it starts getting that gross factor into it. So it's all very interesting to me. But again, we do have to wait to see until we actually know what all is in Volcano Bay.
I just had a gross thought. You don't want to sit on a tram seat if it's already wet from somebody else's.
No, that's like
butt wetness.
That's like the scary. I hate getting on like Splash Mountain whenever you look down and you see the seats already wet.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's not pee or anything. It's just from the ride, but it's still that mental thing. It's, you know, it's wet.
Diarrhea.
Oh.
Diarrhea, Phil?
It's diarrhea, Phil, isn't it? Boom, still got it.
Okay. Any more thoughts on that?
Nope.
Okay, let's start riding solo. Traveling solo.
Han.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, I'm done with it. I'm done with it.
Han Solo.
Okay.
Han Solo.
We know what you're doing.
Han Solo. Got it.
Ben. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. We've gotten this question a multitude of times. Perhaps once, maybe twice in our lifetime of being a show together. But it's a good question nonetheless. And I know it's been brought up in times, just conversations between ourselves. How do you feel about going to the parks alone? Not necessarily just Universal in this case, but Disney. I know it differs for everyone, but for me personally, I am a huge fan of going to the parks by myself, and I'll be quite honest, unless I know I'm going with like a date with Kylie, or I know the three of us are going to like do a review or just generally being ridiculous in some way going through, and I would prefer to just go by myself all the time. And we'll get into the reason why I see it as a benefit. But before we get started here, what are y'all's opinions on traveling to parks? Do you prefer solo, alone, a mixture of both? Let's hear it. JL?
I like a mixture of both because I don't like to be alone all the time. I like the idea of sharing experiences with people. I think ultimately that's my preferred way of doing things in general, not just theme parks, but life in general. But at the same time, I have done the parks by myself regularly, and equally that can be very relaxing. When you are doing the parks with people, there's a stress factor added there that is not necessarily there when you're by yourself. So both have pros and cons. I'm appreciative of both ways of doing it, and I like the mix because then I feel well-rounded and balanced.
Yes, Mr. Solo in the back.
I like to be alone. I don't. But I I don't know. You know, my word for this year is independence, because there was an event. It was after your wedding that I got back in time and I was like, man, I could go to this, but I have no one to go with. And I didn't end up going because of it. I'm a little angry at myself because there was a surprise guest at this event that I would have met. And I'm kicking myself a little bit. And so I said, you know what? I don't want things like that to happen anymore. So I want to be comfortable doing stuff alone. And I went to California alone in October. I mean, that doesn't really count because I had friends there, but working here, starting the way I did and being sent out to do videos, that's when I was in the park alone a lot. And I think I started becoming more comfortable. Like, it allows you to kind of just like look around, you can move at your own pace. And it's not something like I don't want to always go alone. I do feel weird about doing rides by myself, but there are days where I'm like, I just like to walk around and just like take it in, you know? There's sometimes you just want to walk somewhere different, you know?
Yeah, I totally get it. I think before going in and starting to talk about some of the benefits, we can talk about the one major negative in all this. Maybe we'll discover some more as we're going along with this. But I think the main negative is that you do lose that shared experience aspect to it, where I think everyone in the world has that one or two stories where something just incredible, like unthinkable, happened to them, and you know, at least there's someone right there that you can always go back to and be like, oh, do you remember that one time? You know, it's a lot tougher for us, I think, especially being in our world where we get to do a lot of very unique things. We make a lot of those shared experiences more often than other people do sometimes, which is a great benefit of having this job. But yeah, I do hate whenever you have those like one of a kind amazing things happen and you're the only one there to experience it, and then you feel like so like my big one for that, not on Universal but just in general, was whenever I was out 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, at the premiere of World of Color Winter Dreams at Disneyland, specifically Disney California Adventure, I got to interview Josh Gad. Tom Bell was kind of a little bit behind me. Since I had the camera, I was doing the interview, so I was closer up, and he was a little further off in the back. And then Kylie was like way far away, held behind like all the security and everyone trying to watch what was happening. So in that moment, it was like one of these things where, because I was alone there doing it, I can't really like freak out with someone. Like, it happened. Like, Kylie can kind of cooperate, as well as Tom, about like, oh, you're right there. But it's a singular thing for me, and it would have been great to have like
I've got
someone right there beside me.
Good counter moment
pumped
for this.
Up. Yeah.
When I saw Dick Van Dyke, I did that all by myself, because it was literally in that one window the entire weekend that I didn't have anything to do for 1 hour.
That's a good point.
And I was supposed to be like, you know, I was doing like an overview as I was going, and I was like, okay, I've got this amount of time, and I've got to move through this line. And I honestly, I know it's weird, but the only one I would really want, it was probably my mom, would have been the only one who it would have been nice to have her there with. But at the same time, it didn't ruin an experience for me, because it just became so overwhelming in the moment itself that, like, let's say you had been there with me. I wouldn't have necessarily felt robbed. I think I would have been a little more confident because somebody else would have been there with me. So I think, you know, I work well bouncing off of another person. But it was also this, like, thing I have
it would be like
nobody else does.
Yeah, and let's say I was there, then we would be able to be like freaking out about it
exactly.
For the rest of our lives together.
Like we did with Harrison Ford.
Exactly.
When we were at the Star Wars one, that was fun because we were there together and we were both like, no, he's not going to walk out here. We became like five-year-old kids while we were watching this panel.
Well, exactly. I think that there's some sort of psychology in our society where our experiences seem more valid. They're validated in some way when you share them with other people. So I think that's kind of what you guys are getting at there. But if you are out there, solo people, don't get all depressed, because there's this wonderful thing called social media these days, where if you don't have somebody, this, and you know, maybe this is just making me sound sad and pathetic, but you know, I am by myself a lot as a single mom. And so I kind of do go to social media for that type of experience when it's not immediately available to me, so that I am sharing my experiences with my friends that are on Facebook or Twitter and interacting in that way as well.
Okay. I just
brought everything to a screeching halt.
No, you absolutely
here,
didn't. That's a good point that I didn't think about. In this age, you know, I know it because I follow a lot of the friends we've made through Does Unplugged on Twitter, and especially on Facebook, since there's that joint where they post stuff, we post stuff, we all get to see it. But I absolutely, you know, I understand that. It's if you're posting on social media while you're going along and there's people actually interacting with you, mm-hmm. with you as you go along, you're never quite alone. Yeah, in the physical sense, you're right there. Yeah. You're alone because they're happening solely to you. But
these are A's. You know, we've got things like Periscope now.
Yeah.
So people can, in a sense, be with you in real time, in the moment, as those things are happening, even when you are solo. So maybe this is kind of like a cool way of having the advantages of being solo without some of the disadvantages.
I have a reverse on this point, too.
Oh.
So I actually hate things like Periscope. I don't hate Periscope. I mean, like, as a tool for us in our line of work, it's wonderful. Like, Steve and I were going to Periscope the Great Movie Ride the other day. And I was like, you know what? If I was at my office in some random state in the middle of it and I got this email and I was able to, like, tune in and be like, I'm on the Great Movie Ride right now. How cool. Like, I'm with people. I like it like that. However, if I'm on my vacation, some article was released or something like that, but saying that because you are doing everything through the phone like that and you're viewing it through another lens, like you, it has less of an impact on you. Yeah. And therefore it can't have the same impact and it won't stay with you as long. So that's in pro of being alone and just soaking it in and saying, okay, yeah. I'm not taking a picture right now. I'm not taking a video. I'm just going to do this.
You're going to be in the moment.
Right. And it's hard to find that balance sometimes, but
yeah, well, there is, yeah.
You know, I think you should, if you're one of those people that only do that, challenge yourself to be the other way.
Yeah.
And if you're the other way, challenge yourself to just sit and enjoy it and be like, this is the experience I'm having and not sharing it.
Well, I think it also depends on what type of experience you get fulfillment from, because maybe the experience you get fulfillment from is the interaction with other people because of the moment that you're in. But I definitely see what you're saying as well, the flip side of it. But in that sense, you're not, I guess, in bringing it up in the first place, I was just trying to say that what we have noted as a negative of being alone isn't necessarily it doesn't have to be a negative.
Yeah,
I don't think being alone is a negative.
We have to take all of this with an asterisk on it, that there are pluses and minuses to every point that we're going to bring up. And on the same time with it, you know, our opinions are always going to vary to other people's opinions. I know there are people out there who just don't want to do anything alone. And then there's the people out there who would rather just sit at home and hide away by themselves. Sometimes a lot of times that's me.
I can relate to those people too. Like, I have a lot of anxiety problems. And one of them is I feel like overly perceptive to the point where it doesn't become paranoia, but I can't stop my brain from thinking about what the people around me are thinking about. Yeah. And so it becomes, when you're alone, I think like, well, if I'm, you know, am I judging me or are they judging me? And, you know, and it becomes a point where you have to say like, I don't care. I mean, and it's hard to get to that point. What?
I've seen this firsthand with Rhino.
Yes, you have.
It's going to embarrass him, but he will only use a stall if we're going to the restroom somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm going to let you know, me using that stall, though, that's a big move, because until like 2000, I think it was until I moved here, I would never use a public restroom, even if it was a stall or whatever. Now I'm like, I got to pee.
I have some news for you, Craig.
Yeah.
I only use a stall when I go to the restroom as well.
Jesus. It just gets worse and worse.
Okay. But that's one of the reasons why I can't use the urinal, because I think to myself, now they're judging me. I've been standing here too long. Nothing's happened. Now they think I'm being inappropriate. Like, get me out of this.
I think this is maybe outside of the...
So, back to traveling solo. Well, now that we're off potty talk.
I'm relating to that mental aspect of being like the crushing fear of what everybody else is.
I gotcha.
God, now what are you guys thinking about me?
Now let's talk about those benefits that I see, and we are going to kind of bounce around with my original list that I wanted to do. It's already gotten brought up a couple times, so let's talk about it. I think the first big thing is time management. Whenever you are traveling solo through a theme park, time management is so much better because unless you're a mega, mega planner and your whole family's on board with you or all your group of friends is on board with you, with your craziness of where you want to go, when you want to be here, there, that place, you don't have to worry about that so much and letting people down whenever you're traveling solo because you're alone.
Exactly. You don't have to worry about, you know, your three children that need to make potty stops every 10 minutes.
And one that can't because he's too afraid to use the restroom.
And yes. That. And
that happened to me at Busch Gardens as a kid. I wouldn't go. 24 hours I went without anything coming out of my body.
We are still back on Rhino's potty habits. Okay. Or, you know, who's hungry and needs a snack? So even though you've got the plan you're trying to keep, you know, you're adhered to, you have to, you know, accommodate the unexpected hunger pang of your six-year-old or whatnot.
Yeah, and the whole reason why I wanted to discuss this one is I love traveling with my family. I love anytime they come down to visit me at the theme parks. But the main thing that I've yelled at all of them about, too, is whenever we get together in a group, now that my sister and I live down here and we don't have to plan vacations, we don't have to plan out all those details. So they get down here and just like, okay, well, what do we want to do?
They won't make the decision.
It's like, well, move. I know what I want to do, but I don't know what you want to do. And you're not telling me what you want to do. And I know that they want to do something different, but they're not speaking up because they don't want to offend the group. And it is so freaking frustrating. Yeah. Whereas whenever you go alone, you don't have to worry about that. Your schedule is whatever you want to make it. And, you know, everyone does something different. I go in, even whenever I'm going by myself, I'm going in with my camera in my hand, and I'm trying to look for that because that's the enjoyment that I get out of theme parks. Whenever it's something new for the first time, you know, sometimes I have that like dying urge that I want to get it on film right away. I want to take pictures of it. Other times I get the mental reality check of enjoy it the first time. Do it the second time. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, that's with my habits of how I like to travel around a theme park, that doesn't work all the time with my family unless they want to put up with me going around and having to do that, which sometimes they do.
Well, because you guys have different agendas.
Yes, we all have different agendas. And for me, that's, well, you know, I'm not saying I prefer to travel solo to a theme park, but, you know, I almost think to myself, maybe the first time I get to see an overseas, specifically Asian theme park, as much as I want to experience that with other people, maybe I want to do that by myself, something that I'm doing alone so I know I can do it the way that I want to do it and not have to worry about letting other people down, especially for a trip that might be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. That's that delicate balance. That's
fundamentally, you're saying it's kind of cool because you get to be a little bit selfish.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I felt about, like, when I went by myself in October, I was like, oh, I feel bad. But then I was like, you know what? I can do that movie stuff that I want to do, that it's hard to find somebody who wants to do that stuff. Like, who's so fascinated by the footprints, you know, or like the walkers, or like, I just wanted to walk on the beach. I want to do something stupid. Like, I just wanted to put my feet in the water. I wanted to go have like a burger at a cool place, you know? And some people are like, no, we've got to do a theme park. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And I'm like, and our first trip to Disneyland, I was mostly separated from the group for large portions of it. And that was my first kind of alone in a new place. And I to be honest with you, as afraid or as like nervous as I was too swept up in being like brand new. I want to see all this stuff and like going to find being able to run around ADD and then go with that person afterwards who knows everything about it. And I think it's hard because some people didn't have a lot of patience for me to be able to be like, I didn't take it all in yet.
And the flip side of that, you know, you're talking about how you like it because you're not held back by other people.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite times of touring the parks by myself have been my favorite times because I didn't have to worry about being pushed by other people. This isn't a Universal park, so forgive me, but like, I've gone to the park and just spent 45 minutes watching the dolphins swim at the Living Seas in Epcot because I have found that to be very relaxing and soothing. And I didn't have to worry about it bothering anybody else or feeling pressure to please anyone else because I wasn't with anybody else.
I know that you said it, that wasn't a Universal park, and a lot of what we just mentioned doesn't necessarily apply only to Universal. So the benefit of time management and being solo at Universal in that regard is Universal is such Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios Florida. They are such unique parks in their own mind. A lot of the Disney parks are, they're designed for families of all ages. Everyone can enjoy everything. Universal, we know that's not true. Some people can go to Universal and they can only do one aspect of it. They can only walk around and see the scenery and get lost in the theming. Other people only want to go there to do the thrill aspect of it because they have the family-friendly stuff down the street. I think Universal, that's where the benefit of coming in as a solo traveler really plays out, because you know what will best suit you. Maybe it is everything. Maybe it's only getting lost in their theming, which in some areas of the park, you will get more lost in their theming than you will at any other Disney park.
I was going to say that some of the experiences at Universal are so immersive that if you want to have that really deep immersive experience, unless you are with someone that is on the same page as you that wants to share that that experience to that depth, it's going to be very, very difficult to do it. I think of like the interactive wand experience in Diagon Alley, for example. If you don't have a person with you that is all full on hardcore, let's just explore this to the hilt in Diagon Alley, you're going to get pulled elsewhere and you're not going to actually be able to have the experience that you truly wanted to have.
Yeah, no, and my first time in Diagon Alley, I was there with Sean whenever we went and covered it, and we walked in together and we first had that like gaping moment, and then I went in line for Gringotts where he was walking around doing everything else, and then once I finally got out of line after being evac'd off the ride, then there was this mad fury of him being like, oh, you got to see this, you got to see this, you got to see this. But, you know, in that moment, it's like, I need to, this is so immersive. The details are so great. I need to do this almost by myself.
You need to take it in and you need to process it alone sometimes.
And I think Universal is so big on that with areas like the Wizarding World and Simpsons. And just,
they speak to people in different ways.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not just a one way. It's just what, like you said, Diagon Alley. Like, I could be I'm a fan of all the signs, like all the writing everywhere. And I like to find it. And I find that I'm still very surprised by a lot of stuff in there all the time, every day. As much as we talk about it, like, there's still a thing. And, or like Simpsons, like, maybe I just want to go have a Duff beer, sit at that outside bar, and just watch people.
Yeah,
you know, it's fun to watch other people too sometimes, you know?
So let's kind of lead that into the next one. You know, obviously you choose what you want to do throughout the day. That is a great benefit. The next thing I think is a great benefit of it is the attention that you can get.
Yes.
And
what do you mean?
There we go. You don't know what I mean.
Yeah, tell me.
I know this firsthand from working in a theme park, and I've also experienced it myself, and we got a lovely email from our friend Shane about it as well, For some reason, whenever you travel solo, as a team member and a cast member, I could pick it out, and I know people still do to this day. You just have that sense whenever you know someone's there alone, and they go out of their way to actually make you feel a part of it.
I mean, like, you respect them. You respect it, you know?
Yeah. That it's true of any family that seems like they're maybe not having the best time, that you'll go that extra mile to try to pull it in and try to make everything okay for them. But whenever you see that person that is just alone wandering around, it's something about it snaps that you want to show them that extra bit of attention.
What's great is when it is one person, it's a lot easier to do that too for them, to create that extra magic or
to accommodate.
If Universal has a word for it. You know, and that's what we would do at Disney. We'd be like, oh, you're one person. Like, I can just sneak one person. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you can always just sneak one person something, you know?
Yeah. Some of the best conversations I've ever had with cast members or team members, specifically team members at Universal, were whenever I was actually alone. I don't know what sets it off, but something does where they know that, okay, I can see you by yourself.
Well, they'll extend the conversation with you because there's not a group trying to pull you away now or whatever. Like at California, I did the same thing with the cast members there. Like you want to, now it sounds sad, but you want to make a friend. I don't know.
It's not sad at all. I'm going to relate this into the email that Shane sent us. We've talked about him on the show before. But he wrote, in regards to the birthday buttons that we talked about last week. And he said, "Hey, y'all, you had a lively debate about birthday buttons last week, and I wanted to add my two cents, especially as a single solo traveler. I actually have to disagree with Rhino. If you wanted the birthday button, you should have gotten it from guest relations."
You're dead to
agree.
Me, Shane. Excuse me. Then your restaurant website should not ask me, are we celebrating something? What's the point of knowing?
I doubt they have any at the hostess stand at Mythos. Also, I've been going to Universal on the date of my birthday for a few years. Now, specifically because I feel they give me more attention than other parks to the actual birthday button. See, team members giving more attention
to
birthday buttons.
Sorry, my birthday is a holiday.
Even as a solo traveler on some of those visits, I can barely walk 5 feet without someone wishing me well. But even more so, there have been events, not just like free dessert at Mythos, by seeing the birthday button and mentioning mentioning it on the reservation, but by seeing the button. But as Seuss Landing storyteller once wrote Shane a birthday poem on the spot, and more than once he's been boarding a random ride and out of nowhere an intercom voice would tell everyone to wish Shane a happy birthday.
That's cool.
Again, I find it interesting that I've received this much attention as both a non-child and single traveler. Well, I'd be curious to hear if you had similar findings, although I'm not suggesting Rhino turn his birthday week into a birthday month for research.
I hear you loud and clear. Birthday month it is, Shane. what's really cool is, if you know Shane, he's a reserved individual.
Yeah.
So he's definitely not like being flashy or whatever, but it's something as simple as that button will make him thrilled. And so like that extra stuff, he's not doing it for attention or anything like that.
And by himself, it solidifies the point that team members, it's happened to him, it's happened to me, I think it's happened to a lot of us at Universal if we've been alone. For some reason, Universal just has this knack of when you're alone, they go the extra mile. And that happened to actually someone on our Diz team too, Jackie.
That's right.
Which leads us, it's a segue into the next one where we talk about dining, but the attention that you get, and this wasn't even at, this was technically at Royal Pacific Resort, not at one of the parks.
But resorts, yeah.
Yes. And so Jackie, our community manager on Dizboards.com and member of the trip, during our Land and Sea adventure that we did last May, she was dining at Captain Jake's at Royal Pacific, and all of our plans all got mixed up, and so she wanted to have dinner, so she ended up going alone.
Yeah, she took our reservation, which was originally for 6, I believe.
Yeah.
And she ended up being the only one out of the 6 of us to be able to show up, so she did have dinner at Jake's by herself alone.
Yeah, Jake's American Bar, not Captain Jake's. What the hell am I saying?
And it seemed like because she was there, she got exceptional service, not only from the server, but also the manager, who came over and sat down at her table with her and spoke with her for a while, made sure that she was getting the utmost attention. I think where she wasn't complaining about anything, he actually called the server over at a point or two and demanded that the server, give her a refill or make sure that something didn't look quite right and she needed a replacement without Jackie even having to request anything. And then at the end, he validated her parking and did something else that eliminated, I can't remember exactly what it was, but in some way he eliminated a fee that she had. He covered it. Something was comped. Was it the parking?
Yeah.
The parking was comped?
Yep.
Okay. And she just walked out of there feeling like, Queen Elizabeth or something.
Yeah.
She was so happy.
Showered in corgis.
No, and that's another great point about Universal and also the Loews Hotel team members going out of their way to be great to people who are traveling solo to Universal. And now I want to really mark on dining. I think that dining at Universal by yourself is better than any other theme park. out there. I think we've all gone through it at one point where you need to eat at a park and you're alone. And so automatically you gravitate to a quick service because, well, you know, you feel better about sitting by yourself there than going into a restaurant and saying, oh, I'm all alone. I mean, I've done both. I actually like enjoy dining alone.
Scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But somebody else is joining you, right?
No.
No?
Just can I get you a magazine?
Well, so you've done it by yourself at Universal? You've dined alone there at a sit-down restaurant?
I will get to that. Okay. Not in the parks, technically. And I'll say I haven't done it in the parks because, I just don't really go and I don't eat alone at Universal that often. When I do, I stick to City Walk. A lot of the restaurants, I mean, we've talked about it, a lot of the in-park dining isn't that great to begin with, so I gravitate to City Walk more or less. But I don't mind going and sitting at a table by myself. Again, I think whenever you do that anywhere, Universal team members pick up on it very quickly, and they take care of you. But I like to stay at City Walk for the most part, because all of the good places at City Walk, and I'm talking Anahito's, Calfish, NBC Sports Grill and Brew, Emeralds, Vivo, they all have a bar that you can go and get a full service meal at and be there by yourself. Have that attention from the bartender. You don't have to drink because you're sitting at a bar. There's no rules
absolutely not.
But at the same time, you can have that great meal where no one looks at you because you're at a table alone. You're just sitting there at the bar casually having a meal. And I've done that basically at all the restaurants, not NBC Sports Grill and Brew yet, because that's still very new. I haven't gone to eat there alone yet. But
I was about to be like, I'll go there with you and eat alone.
I've done it quite a bit, and that's what I appreciate about it. I know at a lot of the Disney resorts, their restaurants will have the bars attached, so you can do that. But it definitely doesn't have that same amount as the ones at City Walk, where I feel like I can go eat there alone with no problems.
There's also an advantage to doing that, and that is it saves time, because when you go to these restaurants, a lot of times they will have wait lists, and but the bars are I don't know of any bar that isn't self-seating.
Yeah.
So if you are by yourself and you're willing to go sit at the bar, a lot of times you can get a seat immediately and you can get your food before, you know, the family of five that's been on the waiting list for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I've only experienced it once at Vivo where I had to actually, I had to get the last seat at the bar because it was so packed. But in general, I've never had a problem walking up to a bar at Universal, getting a seat immediately, helping into that time management of being by myself at Universal. Mm-hmm. And then also having a relaxing meal where I can do whatever. I can read a book. I can listen to a podcast. I can make conversation with the people around me, which happens from time to time. You never know who you're going to meet at any restaurant, anywhere. Like one of the biggest examples for me was whenever we were in Austria eating, Kylie and I were eating, because it's like the German festival tables, how they seat everyone at the restaurant we were eating at, they put a random English man next to us. And we ended up having one of the best conversations with someone I've ever had. And that's happened at Universal too, where you're sitting by yourself at a bar, you strike up conversation with just a random stranger, and then you get taken away. And you know, everyone has that. It's something in common to talk about whenever you're at Universal. You talk about what you're doing there, and you know, that's part of what I love so much about it. So yeah, dining. I think dining's better traveling solo
at Universal. I've yet to experience. I've done movies alone, theme park alone, but I haven't done the dining yet. I haven't been there yet, but
you'll get it.
I like the lodging myself alone. Mm. Oh, is that where you were going?
I didn't. Yes. I wasn't going in there. I was going in the obvious for the last one.
When you left Disneyland, and you left 2 days early, and I think that was that's the first time I can think of where I was like, this is my hotel room now. Like, I'm alone in here. And so I was the only one who was alone.
I am the hotel captain now.
I could wear my Spider-Man pajamas and do whatever I wanted.
Look at me.
There is something awesome about that.
Yeah, it was. It's just like... And then when I went to California, I was alone too, and it was just very like, I don't know. It's like, here's my hotel room. It's going to be in the condition I want it to be in. Here's my bathroom that nobody's using. Here's me. And like, I can read a book in silence. I can watch whatever I want. I can sleep with the TV on as loud as I want. I can just mosey around the hotel, go have a bar, a drink at the bar, whatever.
You can put the thermostat of the room to the temperature that you like
and
best.
And I've stayed at a lot of hotels by myself outside of just Universal and other places. But I can actually relate this to our last Land and Sea, where I was at Royal Pacific all by myself. You had Jackie with you. Mm-hmm. And then Pete and Dustin were at the Hard Rock. Rhino was staying with Eli.
And his friend. His friend. Very loud.
At Portofino.
Sleeping friend.
I was by myself in my room at Royal Pacific because I live so close. It would be stupid to have Kylie come and stay there. And I felt like royalty staying in that room alone.
Yeah.
Likewise, when we were covering Harry Potter Celebration last year, and I had the Portofino Bay room.
I was in the same boat too, again.
All to myself. And that was a very like, whoa, this is a bit strange when you're used to having little children. Mommy, 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 mommy.
You guys stayed at the hotels for that?
Yeah, we did.
Oh. We did. We tried the package that they had. Yeah. And yeah, the bathroom is the way that you want it to be.
And the Universal hotels are so beautiful. I mean, we've talked about it enough. They are so great staying in them that it's nice being able to appreciate those hotel rooms without having anyone else in there cluttering it up.
You don't have other people waking you up before you want to keeping you up if you're wanting to go to bed. If you're in a hotel that has a balcony, you can open the doors and leave them open if you like.
Yeah.
There's just so much freedom when you're by yourself.
It's great. So,
and some people take offense to it when you're like, I just want to... It's not, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with wanting to just be alone too for a little bit. It's on the flip side of people who are afraid to be alone and people who want to be alone. There's nothing wrong with it. You are allowed. You are in this body for only so many years, you know.
Enjoy
like
it.
Do what you want to do. Like, be alone for a little bit. Your brain will do miraculous things while you let it settle down.
I know.
You
know? I kind of have what doctors call a people problem, that I hate them and I don't want to be around them. So being alone helps. So let's talk about the one that was the obvious thing that everyone thinks about when traveling solo, that we'll save for last because we're done, but single rider lines.
Yeah.
That's generally what people think of right away. I get to use all the single rider lines. Yeah. You can use it when your family's here. There's just a chance you don't get to ride together. The great thing about Universal though, is pretty much the rides that you want to do are all single rider lines. So take, for example, Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts. Single rider line that is typically, for a while there, it was kind of strange whenever it first opened up, that because of all the down and up and down and up, sometimes the single rider line would be just as long as the regular line was, which is always bizarre and funny. And then on the flip side, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey has a single rider line. You miss out on all the castle, which is sad, but it does have one, and it can really help with the wait time whenever things get crazy.
And you can go back and ask for a tour.
Exactly. You can go back and ask for a castle tour if you still want to see it too. But then to just rip off the list real quick, Men in Black has single rider. Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket has it. Transformers has it. Spider-Man has it. Dr. Doom's Fearfall has it. And whenever the Incredible Hulk reopens, that will most likely have the single rider line that it had before too. So all the premier attractions have single rider lines, which really help out. And, you know, as a team member at one point in time, it was so nice having actual solo people get in the single rider lines, because you know there was never going to be that last minute fight about, well, I want to go with my family. Well, why did you get in the freaking single rider line then, you idiot? It only makes team members happy, but it's also a benefit to you that you have these great ones. And of course, Disney has them too, but I think Universal is very smart about the ones that they have single rider lines on. They put thought into which ones actually need them. And it is a great resource and perfect for anyone traveling solo. You can't not use their single rider lines and say that you missed out on stuff at Universal. It's just not possible.
And Universal is like a place I feel a lot more comfortable being alone to. Like, there are some moments, like, so I had to go in to take photos of Club Disney yesterday, and I was like, I just feel like people give me a lot of looks, like, where's this guy's kid? And, you know, that happens sometimes, and I feel like since Universal is a little more adult-oriented sometimes, yeah. Not always, I'm just saying, a lot of times they lean toward the more mature, and, like, there's a lot less of those, like, awkward moments where I'm like, I feel awkward in this, like, thing that I really want to enjoy experiencing because it's from my childhood, but, like, people are judging me.
Yeah.
I don't feel that as often there.
Exactly. You know? No, I can't say enough good things about the single rider lines.
Man, I want to go alone by myself to Universal today.
No,
I'm gonna go get a hotel room.
I'm gonna be going back soon by myself. I know with our schedules now, a lot of our park time will be by ourselves if we have to go and get good content from Universal. But I think that's the exciting thing, and part of the benefit of having this conversation is that not only does everyone else know out there that it is okay and there are some great benefits to traveling alone to Universal, but it's also good for us to know that we don't always have to go as a group and rely on each other's company. You know, I could listen to a lot more podcasts while I'm walking around if I don't have y'all there with me.
This is true.
It's true. It's very true. So any last remarks or statements?
Nah, bruh.
No? Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it then for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. Thank you so, so much to everyone out there who took the time to listen to this or watch this. I know it's a lot to get through. And as always, we continue to suck, but one day we will get better, I'm sure. Maybe.
One day we'll be a big grown-up podcast.
Yeah, one day. We'll earn our stars and our buttons and whatever. But no, thank you so much out there. Please leave us any feedback you may have for the show. Although we might get snarky and aggressive with the feedback, we still do take it into consideration and appreciate having it at all. So subscribe to us on iTunes, on YouTube at youtube.com/DizUnplugged. That's where all our shows will be. And if you need links to everything, of course, check out the show notes page, www.disunplugged.com. That's where you have everything you need to know, including how to contact us and talk to us and all that good jazz. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. It's all in the show notes, too. And most of all, again, thank you so much. We wouldn't be doing this without you guys. So we will be back next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition, where we will talk about, I don't know.
Wait a minute. We didn't talk about our resolutions.
We'll get to the resolutions next week.
Okay.
We'll get to the resolutions next week.
yeah, that'll be our resolution to get to the resolutions.
The resolution for this week will be to get to the resolutions next week. So that is now going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. We'll be back next week. But remember, Alan Rickman is Universal. Oh.